So the question is, how do women like us, age 50 plus, and dealing with high blood pressure, high blood sugars, and rising cholesterol levels, how do we keep our health numbers under control while we're trying to squeeze all the goodness we can from our life? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. Join me as I uncover the secrets of living a plant-based lifestyle, including how to avoid taking medicine simply by eating whole foods, shed the extra fluff around your middle without being hungry or joining a gym, make big lifestyle changes even if you think you have no willpower, eat food you love with no portion control. Let's get your doctor to say, wow, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. All this without meds or restrictive dieting. I'm Robin Wong, and welcome to No Pills, No Hunger.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. So glad you're here. If you are seeing this on a video, it means you're in one of my programs, so you're seeing this. If you are listening to this, you're listening to it through my podcast, No Pills, No Hunger. So for my podcast listeners, this is episode number 229. But to all of you, however you're hearing or seeing this, I welcome you. I'm so glad you're here. And the topic I want to talk to you today about is loneliness. And I've got to say, I was really pleased to see that this topic was brought up by the United States Surgeon General recently. He issued a warning, actually, about loneliness. And it was done in the New York Times, an op-ed on a Sunday journal a little bit ago. And his message was really simple, but it was serious. He basically said that as a society, a nation, we're actually facing loneliness, a loneliness epidemic in this country. And, you know, a new advisory indicates that more than half of the U.S. adults, 58%, are lonely. And, you know, if you think about that for a moment, you're like, that's a lot of people. And then if you think about that, in terms of yourself, ask yourself, am I part of that statistic? And so, you know, that's what that's saying is more than half of the people we know feel lonely. And so that's why I think this was issued. Often we think of loneliness, you know, for our seniors, of course, because they don't get out as much, or, you know, they've lost friends to either illness or death. And so we think of them, but this actually, it's more than that. It's more than just our seniors. It's people like you and I. And so what people don't realize about loneliness is that it can happen to anyone. Like I said, it's not just our seniors. It's not just people with depression necessarily. It can happen to anyone. And in this article, Dr. Murthy, the Surgeon General, he described his own battles with loneliness after becoming the Surgeon General in 2014. And so I think it's really interesting to see even people at the top of their careers who it looks like they have it all can still be feeling lonely. And so it shows up in a wide array of ways. And so, you know, if you think about, you know, maybe I won't be lonely if I just land my dream job, or you're going to move to a new city and this is something you've been looking forward to. You're going to move for work or for an adventure just because you want to live someplace else. And this is something you really want. Just know that even life, major life changes, even for the positive, can really feel you, leave you feeling kind of isolated from others, sort of uprooted, unbalanced, and alone. So just understand that it doesn't have to be from a negative thing. It could be some of these positive things that still leave you feeling lonely. And loneliness is far more than just feeling, just a feeling. It has consequences and that are severe. And that's what I want to kind of raise awareness around. And as studies have shown that loneliness can lead to anxiety and depression, which I think people already know that. But what you may not realize is that can also lead to heart disease and dementia and stroke. And, you know, the prevailing wisdom is that loneliness is as harmful to health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Let that sink in a moment. We don't think about that. We often hear that sitting at our desk is like the new smoking, right? As far as our health goes. Well, now we're starting to realize that loneliness falls into that as well. We all know that smoking cigarettes is bad for our health. That's why we use that as an analogy, because people go, oh yeah, smoking's not good for us. People still do it, but they are really clear that it's not good for them. They just make a choice to do it anyway. And not to say that addiction's not real, it is. But when we use that analogy a lot, because people can identify with it. So loneliness is as harmful to our health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So when you think about that, that's like, wow, that's really, you know, that's a lot, right? It's not good for us. And so what they have found when they've done some other studies is that social engagement with friends has decreased down to about 20 hours a month, all right? Non-household family social engagement, there's a decrease of about 6.5 hours per month. And social engagement with others is down now by 10, down, you know, by 10 hours a month. So what that means is we used to do those things more, all right? We used to have more social engagement with friends. We used to have more family, non-household family social engagement and more social engagement with others by, you know, what it was, 6.5 hours to 20 hours a month more. That's not happening. And so we know that people are craving connection. I know this for a fact because I started doing in-person talks, talking about stress hormones and health a lot more, and I can't keep up with the demand. I have to say that, you know, we have to turn people away at every talk because it's just, we can't accommodate everybody because it's just, and so people are craving it. They want to get out. They want to learn. They want to be with other people. Now, not everyone, but a lot of people do. Okay. A lot of people do. And so, you know, we know that adults are spending significantly less time with friends and family. And it's really, so when I read that this article, and I saw a synopsis of it first, and then I dug through and I found it, that when, you know, he is this person is the highest ranking medical officer, and he's taken a stance on this issue. And so just know that, you know, this epidemic, what they're sort of calling it, isn't going to change unless we start making an effort from all of us, okay, and understanding that it is a problem. And so, you know, some of the things that I started looking around for, so other social engagements, like, well, what is out there for people? And one of the things I'm aware of was Meetup. That's a certain thing that was actually formed to get people to meet other people, especially in new cities. If you move to a new city, right? And I think Meetup was launched in 2002, and it's grown over the years. And so you can put in any topic you're interested in and find a Meetup group to go socialize and learn with and, you know, engage with. And so there's other organizations like that as well. You can join a club. There's all types of things, but you have to start kind of looking and seeing. So, you know, so I want you to realize, what are some of the things you can start doing to end loneliness? Obviously, reconnect with someone you know. That's the easiest thing. Rather than learn, you know, meet someone completely new, you can actually, you know, reconnect with someone from your past or that you've lost connection with. How often is it, you know, it happened that if you've had children and through all the years of growing up, whether they're doing sports or going through school, you had different set of friends and the kids all go their different ways. And sometimes those friendships drop the wayside. Maybe start there, reconnect there. Or maybe you used to belong to a club and used to enjoy quilting or ping pong or whatever it is, but yet you got injured or you moved. And so you kind of got away from that. Well, reach out to those people. Most of them are going to be really happy to hear from you. And it's easy to do now because you can you know, send a text, an email, just to reach out and see. It can be with friends, it can be with family. So often when we live away from our family, we lose connection. And so, you know, it's okay if it's been a while. People are always thrilled to hear from you. Okay, they really are. And then, you know, suggest a plan, you know, like getting coffee or catching a movie or going on a walk. Because how often do we say, oh, let's do it? But if you set it on the calendar, you, it's a much greater likelihood that you're actually going to keep that date. And that vague idea of, hey, you know, let's get together again sometime, it doesn't happen unless someone takes that initiative to say, let's do it in 3 weeks. Let's do it. Let's meet again. And I know I've had to do this with my own friends. It's like trying to meet once a month and we'll text back and forth. And it's like, you know, but we're kind of committed to trying to make that happen. And then we're human. A couple months will pass. We'll get busy. And it's like, okay, we haven't done this for a few months. It's like, really, it's been a few months. And then we'll get back on track. Okay, so just, you know, that vague, let's do it sometime, make a concrete plan. That's really helpful. Meet new people, make new friendships. This is hard for a lot of people, especially if people are more introverted. And so just understand that friendships can happen anywhere. And it starts with being very open to it. Start with the people closest to you. That's probably the easiest, maybe a neighbor or someone you see on a regular basis at a grocery store, or maybe you belong to a hobby group that, you know, you just kind of go and, you know a few people, but branch out, meet somebody else, and, you know, suggest an activity to do together. You know, maybe you go to work and it's a coworker that's new or that you've seen around that you kind of think you have something in common. Reach out and then investigate it. Be curious. See, maybe you do have more in common than you think. You know, it could be at the dog park. Somebody, you know, it's like, oh, you're the same type of dog. Strike up a conversation, right? And then the other thing you can do is really commit to doing one social activity each week. Now, if that seems like a lot for you, maybe just do it once a month, right? Start wherever it's comfortable for you. And so try to do something very, you know, say, I'm going to commit to this. And I know we're such creatures of habit. It's sometimes really hard for us to change our habits. Yet if you're feeling lonely, you know, and you don't want to be, then you might have to take that initiative to do that. And I know it's hard when you're feeling lonely, put yourself out there. But try to commit doing something social each week. That could be volunteering. It could be, you know, playing trivia. Maybe just start with something online initially to feel it out. You could really go big, host a dinner party. And that might be kind of fun if that was something you used to like to do. I mean, I remember back in the day, it used to be like these progressive dinners with your neighbors. You would go to one house for the appetizer, the next house for the entree, and then the next house for dessert. That way everyone kind of got to try something different, and it was just something new, a new spin on a dinner party that people thought was sort of fun. And then you would rotate through who did what. I know a lot of people like to play bunco. There's a lot of games that are interactive that don't take a lot of skill, that, you know, you could become a sub if you don't want to do it full time and just sort of feel it out. There's a ton of events typically happening, you know, in your area. Now, I live rurally, so there's not a lot of things happening right where I live, but I can drive into town. There's a lot of different activities there. Meetup's a great thing for that, like I said, because you can definitely find out what your hobby is, what you enjoy, and narrow down the scope to then finding a group that maybe works for you. And it may not be the first group. You might have to try a couple different ones. And so that's another thing. And ask your friends, ask, well, what do you like to go do? You know, someone that's in a cycling group, it's like, hey, can you invite me along? I'd like to do that. I did that with pickleball. I had friends that were playing pickleball. I was like, hey, I think I want to try that. Can you invite me? Can you take me sometime? And they did. So maybe start there. So the point is really to put yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit, so that you can start reducing that loneliness. Now, if this is not you, then not a problem. You don't need to be doing that. However, what you could do is you could be the hand that reaches out to somebody else who you think is lonely and help them along the path. Okay, because maybe that's not what's going on with you, but just realize 58% of the people are feeling loneliness. And so there's a good chance someone in your circle, and that maybe it's not every day, but someone in your circle might be feeling that. So try to pay attention to that. And then, you know, you could help each other. You could be the coach, the helper, the mentor, the friend to help them along. And I bet you would learn a lot from that person too. So hope this helps. I thank you for joining me, and I'll talk to you all soon.
Thank you for tuning in today. I know there's about a million ways you can spend your time, and I really do appreciate that you spent some time with me. Thank you. If you got something out of this episode and know someone who would also appreciate it, make sure to share it with them. We are all trying to get healthier in order to live well, and you can show them you care about their health by sharing these messages. Want to start improving your health today? One place I like to start with clients is breakfast, since morning habits are the easiest to build. That's why I created a guide called 3 Breakfasts to Lower Blood Sugars, which includes easy, delicious recipes for my favorite meals to start the day. Pick it up today for free at page.nutritionwithrobinrdn.com/guide, or click the link for 3 breakfasts to lower blood sugar in the show notes. Thanks again, and see you in the next episode.